Tango Tango Papa 2007, November 25th, 2017.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Ardmore, Oklahoma. So, let's see. I was trying to think there. I guess I should have looked whenever the last podcast was. It seems like it's been maybe a week or two. I think it's certainly been over a week. So I've kind of been here and there and... I don't remember, you know, that's kind of unimportant, more or less. I tend to remember things that I think that are, you know, that are important, and things that are sort of unimportant kind of quickly get forgotten. So, in any case, I am unloading here in Ardmore Monday morning. Of course, today was Saturday. I got here, I went ahead and it was, of course, this has been Thanksgiving weekend. So I decided I'd pick this load up in, where did I pick it up at? In the Atlanta area, McDonough, Georgia, south of Atlanta is where I picked this load up at. And so I'm due home. You know, I told him I wanted to be home as soon after Thanksgiving as possible. And so they ended up, I originally had a load that was going to Edwardsville, Illinois. And then that load, after I'd waited on it for about 7 hours, wherever I was at, that load canceled. I was in Columbus, Ohio, I believe. And so that load canceled, and then they tried to send a load that was going to Maine, which was really the wrong way. Of course, it was a night and weekend people that were doing it. And I rejected that one, telling them, hey, you know, I'm due home. I'd like to go home. And so then they came up with this load. Well, I take that back. They came up with a load that went from... someplace in Ohio, and it went to Kennesaw, Georgia, and then they came up with a load that, you know, McDonough, Georgia to Ardmore, Oklahoma, and then it's, you know, but what I was started to say was that I realized I could get here today, today being Saturday, and then I'll just sit here at Ardmore all day tomorrow being Sunday, and then the load delivers early Monday morning, 6 a.m. So, and then that way I avoid driving on Sunday, because we had the big Thanksgiving holiday. Sunday is going to be a big go-home day. Of course, there were a lot of people going home today. There was a fair amount of traffic, although it didn't create any backups or anything. But there was a fair amount of traffic, people traveling today. And so the roads in, particularly in Texas that I was on, were fairly busy. So, but I've made it here to Ardmore this afternoon, you know, kind of late this afternoon. And so then I'll just, like I say, I'll hang out here all day tomorrow. And then... unload the load early Monday morning, and it's probably a little too far from to Deadhead home from here, because it's probably at least 250 miles from here home. So they'll probably come up with another load that we'll pick up somewhere, and then that will actually end up getting me closer to home, you know, to a point where I can Deadhead on home. So I'll get home sometime maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, kind of depending on what they come up with. So, but it doesn't matter. I don't have any appointments this time. And I'm just ready to kind of take some, take a few days off and then kind of go, then I'll be going whenever, then after that I'll be going back to work. And then it's going to be a shorter period of time because my vacation is scheduled to begin on December 16th. So, in the meantime, I'm going to take 5 days off, because I could have, I could have stayed out until the 16th, but then that would have been longer than I would like. And so I would rather, it's a good idea just to go ahead and take regular time off and not get to the point where I'm kind of pushing things all the time. So it was a very nice day today. It was, when I was driving through Dallas and then even when I got here to Ardmore, Oklahoma, or down in Dallas, the temperature was about 75 degrees. The sun was shining. And then even, once I got later this afternoon when I got to Ardmore, it was still, I think, 70 or 71 degrees. Of course, it's cooled off tonight, and I think the overnight low here, when I checked earlier, is expected to be about 40 degrees, which that's not terrible. I can live with 40 degrees. and I think it's supposed to be nice. Actually nice weather for the next several days. There may be some days where there's rain. I was just kind of looking at the extended forecast on Google. So in any case, what's been going on? Same old, same old. One thing I wanted to mention, I did notice that I've been sort of finding I have a Verizon hotspot that I've had for a number of years, a 4G LTE hotspot, and it's unlimited. I'm grandfathered in because with the unlimited account because originally I had an unlimited data account from Altel. And of course, a number of years ago, Altel bought Verizon, and then long story short, I ended up, after first thinking I was going to, they were just going to do away with the unlimited accounts, then at the last minute, when I was ready to cancel, they offered me an unlimited Verizon 4G account, and of course, I took it, and I've been using it ever since. But now, it seems that they are throttling. This where I was at. I spent the night last night. Someplace in Louisiana, kind of in the middle of the state, along Interstate 20. And wherever I was at, I rebooted the modem and everything. And right now, the display on the 4G hotspot has a little color LCD square display. And what it says now, and it wasn't on there originally. Now what it says, it said I use like 22.7 something gigabytes, about 22.7 gigabytes. And my reset date, where the thing, the cycle date is December 10th. It's never said that before. So they put that right on the display. And where I was parked at last night there in Louisiana, I was barely getting any internet at all out of that. It's very, very slow. Now, here at Ardmore, it's a different story. I did a speed test a while ago, and I've got like 19 point something down and 3 point something up. So I guess the way the Verizon thing is working is that if you have They give you 22 gigabytes if you have an unlimited account. That's what someone told me. I guess I could look it up, but supposedly you get the 22 gigabytes, and then after that they don't completely cut you off, but they do throttle you. So I'm pretty sure I was being throttled, but lately I haven't been. I've been trying to avoid using the Verizon account to stream video with, because the Sprint LTE has dramatically improved, and I'm finding Sprint LTE in a lot of places now that used to be it didn't have it. So the Sprint LTE is starting to really show up in a lot of places, and it works pretty good. And so I tend to stream lots of video during my off time and here in the truck. And so I've been, lately I've just been using the phone as opposed to, I really don't want to abuse the Verizon hotspot, and now that's going to be doubly true. If they really are throttling the unlimited customers, then I need to try to stay within the 22 gigabytes, and I think I can do that by just not watching any video through Verizon at all, and just basically kind of use that as sparingly as I possibly can. Because and the reason, I've had people say, well, why don't you just get rid of it? If they're going to throttle you, just get rid of it. Well, I still need a hotspot for the tablets, for this computer, this tablet computer that I'm using, the Surface Pro 3 that I'm using right now to record this with, as well as the iPad that I have. And then, of course, I also have a Samsung tablet that I keep up on the dash that does mapping, and I listen to podcasts with it, etc. So I'm trying to use the phone as much as possible, as much as I possibly can. And I think, I don't know, I could probably, if I want to pay Sprint, and I guess I could look into it at some point. If I want to pay Sprint, a certain amount of money more, that I can get probably like a five. I don't know what their plans are now, but at one point it was like a 5 gigabyte hotspot feature on the phone for an additional cost per month. But because the phone itself is supposed to be unlimited, so I could. But I haven't. Done the Sprint hotspot thing for a long time on the phone, so yeah, I think I did at one point maybe, but and that's been several years ago. So I suppose if worst came to worst, I could use the phone as a as a podcast recorder, and then upload and do everything through the phone. I know I can do that. It's just, it's more difficult with the small interface. It's just easier to do it with kind of having a real recording software, and kind of a more of a computer type browser. I learned something interesting. I was kind of, I watch a lot of YouTube videos, and I didn't realize it, but there are emulators that you can get for Android, and I'm assuming you can do the same thing on iOS. You can get these emulators that they're open source that allow you to, basically it emulates a PC, and that allows you to run, you can run various whichever version of Windows or Linux that you actually want to run on it, which is pretty remarkable. Now, it kind of probably depends on the speed of your phone, how fast the processor is, as to whether or not that's going to, what kind of an experience that's going to be. Because I haven't tried it, but it might be possibly not a very good experience. I don't know. But it is possible to do that, which is sort of speaks to the speed and the performance of the processors that they're putting in the phones nowadays. It's pretty amazing that you can actually run desktop operating system software in an emulator on a phone. That's pretty amazing. So, and then of course, then there's, you can actually don't have to even necessarily have to have the whole emulator. The operating system, the, you know, with the whole operating system, you can actually, there are ways of running just the software, like Windows software, in a, you know, a sort of an emulated, just enough of an emulated environment. You know, I think, what did they call it, Wine or something, W-I-N-E, at least for the OS X version, where you can run Windows programs in OS X without having a full emulator. And you can kind of, the same thing, I think, is available for Android, you know, in different forms. So you can run actual Windows programs on, you know, on Android without a full emulator, without the full desktop operating system. So that's kind of interesting. I don't know that that would be probably a fairly tough experience trying to do that on a small phone screen, because you really need the bigger screen. So I think if push came to shove and the Verizon just got to the point where it wouldn't work, or they just kind of locked me out or whatever, and I wanted to record and upload a podcast, what I could do is just go ahead and record the podcast just like I am right now, using Adobe Edition 1.5 running on Windows 10, and make the file, get the file completely ready to go, and then simply copy it over to a micro SD card, and then move the thing over to the phone, and then copy the file from the SD card, rather, because I have an SD card reader that'll work either on the PC or the, you know, it'll work on the phone as well, just as, you know, and so I, you know, I've could just copy the file and just, you know, unplug it from the computer, plug it into the phone, and copy it over, and then make the finals, you know, do all the preparation of the file as far as the ID3 tags and the image file and all of that as part of the ID3 tags. Have the file completely prepared, and then simply do the back-end uploading part on the phone using Sprint's data directly. So I could do that. That would be kind of an extra step, but that's doable. And as I say, the Sprint LTE is working pretty well these days. It's probably not as good as what Verizon or AT&T has, or it's probably better than what T-Mobile offers. Because I think I still get the impression that T-Mobile will work great if you're in a city, but once you get out of the city limits, maybe not so much. Whereas, you know, right now, like I say, I'm in Ardmore, Oklahoma, which is sort of in between Dallas and Oklahoma City. This is kind of a rural area, and the Sprint LTE is great right here. You know, this is Ardmore is not a, I don't know what the population of Ardmore, Oklahoma is, but it's not that much. You know, it can't be, I don't know if, maybe Alexa will know. Alexa, what's the population of Ardmore, Oklahoma?
The population of Ardmore, Oklahoma is about 24,300.
There we go. So Alexa knows, 24,300. So that's you know, that's not a big city, and yet there's the Sprint LTE. So that's pretty good. So I have options if I need them. So anyway, of course, the Black Friday, so-called Black Friday thing is kind of been in full swing, I guess, since, you know, this Thanksgiving. You know, and I don't know when Black Friday kind of became a thing, but I had never really heard of it. The first time I remember hearing about it was maybe, probably sometime in the 80s. You know, it's when I started hearing that term. And that's when I really sort of noticed that people, you know, right after, immediately after Thanksgiving, you know, they would, you know, it was all of a sudden it was shopping season. And, you know, people were, you know, and then of course after that, this would have been sometime in the 80s that I noticed that. And then slowly over time, it's just gotten more and more crazy. To the point now where you have these people sort of fighting and God knows what they do. And it's a worldwide phenomenon now. It's not just in America. It started out as an American thing. And now it's kind of gone global where these people just go crazy over the so-called Black Friday. And I don't know. I think it's kind of a mob. It's really a mob behavior. It's certainly a group behavior. You know, it's all of a sudden it's shopping time, shopping season, and you know it's kind of a group behavior, and it can easily turn into a mob. You know, because there's been stampedes. A few years ago there was this, you know, there's been more than one stamp, you know, people have got trampled to death. That's happened at least once, or maybe more than that. And so then the stores are employing crowd control tactics to try to prevent that from happening. But you know, people are still getting into fights over things, and, you know, it's really kind of, it's insane is what it is. It really is insane. But apart from the mob aspect of it, why would you know, what would possess someone, and they really are possessed, that's the right word, what would possess someone to get up really early on the, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, the November the 24th, get up really, and it's not even Thanksgiving in other parts of the world, but, you know, November 24th, Black Friday, what would possess people to get up early in the morning and go stand, or maybe camp out all night and wait for a store to open so they can rush in there and get the bargain, you know? And I think part of it is this, for the same reason that you have people racing ahead. You know, you're on a multi-lane road, and there's road construction ahead, and it goes down. Let's say it goes down to one lane or whatever. And you always have on a busy road, you'll always have the people that'll try to race ahead and be first. You know, me first. They, you know, gain some small advantage. It's the same thing that drives people, as I've said many times, to, you know, they're in the bank, or, you know, and they see the pen laying there for their convenience, and, you know, they don't think anybody's looking, and it's not going to hurt the bank anyway, so then they just swipe the pen, you know, and they trade a little piece of their soul for the stupid free pen. And I think they also get some bad karma out of that too. Shh, don't tell them. there's really good reasons why you want to do the right thing. You know, because you really don't get you're really putting yourself at a disadvantage, you know, when you do that. But in any case, I think it's the same thing. It's that drives it to a certain, you know, apart from the mob aspect of it, which that's always a possibility. You know, as people become more suggestible, sort of more depraved. But there is an element of I'm going to get an advantage. I'm going to gain an advantage over somebody else. I'm going to pay less for whatever it is. I'm going to gain the advantage. So I think that's part of it. That's part of what, you know, kind of the justification for, for the that kind of thing. And then there's also an aspect of it, I think, that and it kind of falls into the same category. You know, people are using shopping as a way of making themselves feel better. You know, it kind of, it has some, there's some real cult-like aspects to it. And I'm talking about the, you know, because we all have to shop for things. I'm not talking about normal shopping. I'm talking about this so-called Black Friday phenomena. There are some, you know, some cult-like aspects to it. You know, where they're part of the group. And all of a sudden, it's shopping. The group says it's shopping season, so we all have to shop. So it's a very strange thing if you think about it, kind of calmly and objectively. You think about it, and it's a bizarre kind of behavior. So. But it's a really strange thing. It's a very strange thing. And I think, you know, a lot of it, the reason it's gotten worse and it's gotten to be such a big thing and it's gone global is because people, you know, you have a large number of people that are actually worse. Meaning they're actually more distant from who they could have been. They're more separated from who they could have been. And they're more guilty. And then they use shopping as a way, as a sort of a mechanism to make themselves feel better, you know, make them feel better about themselves. And so, you know, as I say, then it becomes, you have more of a kind of a religious aspect to it. You know, it kind of becomes a cult-like religious activity. And that's kind of folded in with, you have the people, they want the new technology, and they're sort of worshiping the technology. Technologies, you know, and you have the people that want the latest and greatest devices. And so it all kind of comes together kind of under the same umbrella. But I think the thing that really is driving it is that you have more people that are separated from who they could have been. You have more people that are guilty. Now, you know, why would you, you know, why would you want to not sin? Is there, you know, is sin, you know, because there's this myth that people have that in their minds and a justification, you know, that if they sin, that they're going to be happy. You know, if they give in to temptation, they're going to be happy. If they do the wrong thing, it's going to make them happy. And of course, it's just the opposite. If you do the wrong thing, it makes you more guilty. If you do the wrong thing, you have a bigger conscience. If you do the wrong thing, you have a more guilty conscience. And so therefore, you have to do more to try to separate yourself from that guilty conscience. And ultimately, you're making yourself more unhappy. And so, how many people, you know, I see all these articles about, record number of people report being depressed. Now, record number of people are on antidepressants. Well, why? You know, following their logic, if, you know, they're kind of giving in and giving in to the, you know, any urge that they want to, you know, have all the sex that you want, eat all the food that you want, you know, you buy this, buy that without restraint. Just, you know, whatever urge you have, just give in to it. Type of mentality, they, you know, following their logic, they should be happy, and of course they're not. So the opposite is true. If you can restrain yourself, if you can somehow find restraint and not given to the temptation, whatever the temptation is, you know, and usually it's always revolving around robbing, raping, murdering, stealing, you know, and then taking the Lord's name in vain, which, you know, it's not that, you know, name always, in the Bible, name always means nature. You're taking the Lord's nature in vain, meaning you're playing God in your own mind. How do you do that? Through resentment. And then being proud of, trying to be proud of what it turns you into. The more you do that, the more you're messing yourself up. The more you mess yourself up, the more unhappy you're going to be. And so, you know, if you find a group of people, you know, and they're all over the place, but it's easy to find groups of people on the internet. If you can find, you know, take your pick, find a group of people that, is they're happy, you know, they think they're happy to be whatever it is, you know, they've given into whatever bad behaviors that they've given into, and they think that behavior's normal and I'm okay, you're okay, and so then they get together on the internet as a group. And there's some really bizarre stuff that you can find, you know, the as far as people go. You know, and we'll just use abortion as an example. There are groups of women that have had abortions and, you know, and they're really militant about it. And they try to encourage as many abortions as possible. And they think it's just a perfectly normal thing. It's an even a noble thing to kill your baby. How many of those women are depressed, and they'll, you know, and you get, you, you know, they start talking about their depression, you know, and then they'll, I was reading, I'm not going to name any names, or basically I'm not going to give you any details, but I was on Instagram and I was kind of looking through some of the stuff, and you know, and I came across this guy, and it's obvious this guy has just given in to whatever whim, any little whim that he could, you know, and just use your imagination, sexual and otherwise, you know, and of course he's trying to appear perfectly normal to his, you know, the other guys that he's friends with. You know, it's the behavior is just perfectly normal because they're, you know, it's all kind of centered around the same behavior. And then, he's talking about, well, I've been depressed, and I've been taking my antidepressants for like 5 weeks, and it finally kicked in, and it seemed like he woke up and he wasn't depressed after, all this time, but it took that long for the antidepressants to work. And then he was saying, depression is a real disease. People should take it seriously. Well, the problem is, not only did he engage in the, kind of giving into temptation, but where you really get into trouble and what's really going to make you depressed is not so much you give in to the temptation. Where you get into trouble, what causes you to be depressed is when you resent because you give in to the temptation that your conscience is going to be there to remind you, hey, you've fallen. And where the problem starts then is when you resent your conscience. That's the fatal flaw. That's the big mistake. Resenting your conscience is resenting your Creator. Resenting your conscience is hating God. And that's the more you do that, the more depressed you become. And it's a bottomless pit. It really is a bottomless pit. And then they begin to resent everything in sight. And it makes it worse. And yes, it is a chemical imbalance, but what caused the chemical imbalance? And you're not going to be able to just fix it by changing the chemistry. You've got to change the spiritual problem that caused that ended up causing the chemical imbalance. None of us are perfect. And we all kind of make mistakes. And we all kind of end up giving in to temptations. But where the real problem happens is if you resent your conscience. That's where we make the mistake. Conscience is there to, here is sort of like guardrails, the dots on the highway lanes, there's in some places you have what's called botch dots, and you get it, you kind of drift out of your lane and, or you start to go into the other lane and it makes your tires rumble. So your conscience is there to kind of guide you back. But where we make the mistake is when we resent our conscience. And then of course these same types of people will somehow blame society for the conscience. Somehow society programmed their conscience and blah blah blah, and then they want to grab hold of the children and kind of teach them perversion, pervert the kids as early of an age as possible, in the hopes that if they can teach them perversion as early as possible, and that there is no God, and there's no right and wrong, everything's shades of gray, blah blah blah. That those people, when those kids grow up, they'll be happy. And of course they won't. they'll be as unhappy as ever, and so that thus society deteriorates. So if you really want to be happy, it's not about change. You can't change your own behavior. If you really want to be happy, if you're serious about it, you have to face your conscience without resenting it. And if you can actually do that and make friends with it, your behavior may very well change. It probably will. But it's not through your own effort. You can't fix yourself. It's not possible. You can make yourself worse, but you can't fix yourself. At best, you can kind of trade one bad thing for another. You know, and then you have the people that, oh, well, I'm exercising and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I'm such a good person. It's all compensation. And it doesn't do any good in the end. Because they're still miserable, and as long as they resent, and the more you resent, resentment on top of resentment, the worse you become. The more miserable you become. So if you can go in the opposite direction, if you can become friends with your conscience, and if your conscience makes you feel guilty, just feel the guilt. Embrace it. It's a good thing. It's correcting you. And never make the mistake of resenting your conscience. And so then, at that point, you know, it becomes possible to, you know, you kind of carry your peace. People say, well, they're looking for peace. They want peace of some sort. They want to be at peace with themselves. Well, you can't be at peace, you know, it's another way of putting it. You can't be at peace, you know, by running away from your conscience. Do you think that's peace? Because it's not. It's, if running away from it just makes it worse. Resenting it makes it, you know, is the worst of all. That's the biggest mistake you can make. Because that's really where depression kicks in. And depression is not normal. It's not a normal thing. Once I learned that lesson, once I became friends with my conscience, and I learned not to resent it, I never get depressed, ever. I don't even know when the last time I was actually depressed. I don't get depressed. But at the same time, I don't, you know, I'm not up, you know, I don't have these huge highs either. That's, you know, that's kind of the flip side of the, you know, because somebody that's depressed, then they, you know, you have manic depression. You know, so they go from one extreme to the other. So I'm able, you know, I end up kind of carrying my peace with me. Wherever I go, it doesn't matter where I go or what I'm doing, I have a sense of peace, just a perfect, perfect sense of peace. That I did not achieve. I don't know either, you know, it's really a gift that God gave to me. You know, and I've been talking about emotions recently. And emotions are a form of insanity. I have emotions. You know, but it's as if the emotions that I have, I'm able to feel emotions, but it's as if those emotions are, you know, they're in a little cage. And they can't get out. They're in a little cage and they can only go so far, and that's that. And so I don't, I have, just a few little rudimentary emotions. And so I can look at a pretty picture and admire it, or a pretty piece of landscape or a pretty sky, and I can certainly admire it. But I don't, I'm not just overwhelmed by it. And I don't, nor should I be. But those, the emotions that I have are in a little cage. And I'm in control of the cage. It's not the other way around. And that's the way it should be. And that's not something I achieved. I didn't do it. All I've ever really done is practice the meditation that I have on my website. If you go to truckertompodcast.com, up at the top there's a link that says meditation. Click on that link. And there are about 4 MP3 files there that will teach you a very simple meditation technique. And that basically it teaches you how to separate you, the point of awareness, from your thoughts. Albeit temporarily, it's never going to be completely separate. The idea isn't that you're going to just be separated from your thoughts forever. We are not our thoughts. We as human beings, we have this point of awareness. But it's a good idea to practice, at least, depending, at least once a day, if you're beginning, a couple times a day, maybe 3 times a day if you feel like it. But practice separating yourself from your thoughts and being aware in the present moment. Because the present moment is where God is at. And that's where, you can experience the benefits of coming out of your thoughts. But at some point, I realized that, at that time, a few years ago, I couldn't really put it into words like I can now, but I realized that I was at peace. I had a sense of peace, regardless of what was going on. I had a sense of peace that just, even though I could see all of the crazy things going on in the world, I had a sense of peace that defied all understanding. And basically, just to kind of put it into words, it may sound a little cheesy, but I'm just going to put it into these words. It's almost like God took the emotions and kind of put them in a little cage. Caged them up the way they should be. Your emotions, emotions should not be a driving factor. They should not be a driving factor for any kind of decision, any kind of serious behavior, serious decisions that you might make. They should not be a factor at all. But we end up taking them as fallen human beings. We end up kind of abusing them, turning them into into heightened experiences that they should never be. Using them, kind of misusing them. And as a result, it leads to all kinds of mayhem and ruin. And emotions, unbridled emotions are insanity. They are a serious form of insanity. But I'm not telling, don't assume I'm telling you you have to suppress, you can't suppress your, you don't want to suppress them. You're not going to, you cannot suppress them yourself. You're going to have consequences if you do, so I'm not saying that. Unstop your ears, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that you should beware of them, and that you need to practice being in the moment and not kind of being caught up in thought all the time. It's the same old squirrel cage going around and around and around. Like a mouse running in a little squirrel cage going nowhere. Why do we exist as human beings? What is the point of our existence? Is it so we can some people think, we exist to work, and then we work to make money, and we make money so we can have a car and a house and what have you. I've heard people say, and I've thought these thoughts before, you work so you can have a car, but you need a car so that you can work, for example. Is that why you exist? No. It's not why I exist. Those things are just byproducts. Why do we work? What's the point? What's the point of continuing to eat to continue to exist? What's the point of it all? The point of it all, I've come to realize the point of it all as we go through life, as we go through this existence, the real point is to find, to come back to our Creator. To be with our Creator. To form an ever deeper bond with our Creator. And you're not, it's not in a church, it's not in some kind of building, it's not in, you know, giving into temptation, it's not in you know, eating delightful foods or having delightful sex or whatever else. You know, that meditation technique on my website is there. You know, it will help you. I do believe that it'll help most people. If you're serious about finding your Creator, because I often wonder how many people really are serious. They may think that they may claim to be serious, but are they really? That meditation technique can help you move towards your Creator, towards the present moment. Towards the present moment. That's where God is in the present moment. Away from thought, the cacophony of thoughts. You know, and practice spending time in the present moment. And it's probably, at best, it's just going to be a few, you know, all it has to be is just a few seconds at a time. You know, and you just practice, you know, you can't practice that all the time. But you do that over a long period of time, time after time, day after day. But there's some mysterious element, and I can't define it. If you're really looking for your Creator, and I can't define what that is. You have to have the want to. And for some reason, and I have no idea why, I've always had the want to. I've always been motivated. I've always been looking. And like I say, I don't think everybody is. Regardless of what they claim, where the rubber meets the road, I don't think that they're really looking. Something's missing in their motivation. But the meditation is simply a technique to learn to be in the present moment. but the meditation cannot create motivation that's just not there. The meditation technique cannot cause you to want to find your creator. That already has to be present. Whatever that mysterious element is, that must already be present. You've already got to be looking, or you wouldn't even be listening to me. So the purpose of my existence is not to work, and it's not to try to live as long as I can, and it's not to try to, find as much pleasure as I possibly can or as much luxury as I possibly can. The purpose of my existence as I've come to know it is to, I feel compelled to form an ever deeper bond with my creator, with whatever brought me into existence. This existence is a remarkable thing. It's unbelievable. I watch a lot of YouTube videos, and there's a lot of YouTube, there's YouTube videos on any subject you could possibly think of. But I watch a lot of science videos. I watch a lot, where they're trying to, I especially like it if they just kind of stick to the facts, but they invariably they'll, a lot of them feel compelled to sort of venture into the idea, about evolution and how the universe came to be. And it's patently obvious that none of this would exist without a creator. They'll go so far as to say that it's just some sort of an accident. And then if you tell them, at the end, you're just saying, it just sort of happened somehow. Evolution is all of this theory is designed to explain how it happened on its own. We got the Goldilocks syndrome. The universe is just right for matter to exist. Everything's just so-so. So therefore, there must be unlimited number of galaxies. They talk about, and they're trying to explain why or how it could be that everything is just so-so, our universe, everything's just so-so, so that life could exist. Not only that matter could exist, but life could exist. And it's obvious that it wasn't just some accident. Well, of course, what drives them to go to such extreme lengths and, jump through all of these ridiculous intellectual hoops, what drives that at the end of the day is to, they're really looking to get rid of conscience. They're really, you know, that's what drives a lot of these people, is that they really want to get rid of any vestige of the idea of conscience, that there is any kind of right and wrong. That there is a creator, and we ain't him. They want to be the big egos. At a very fundamental level. And it goes back to the mystery of why have I always been looking for my creator? It goes back to that mystery. What is that essence of motivation that I have, but a lot of people don't have? They don't seem to have it. What is that essence of motivation? Somehow, it comes down to the idea of, you know, I'm willing, I'm able, even though I dabbled in the kind of playing God in my own mind that we all do. We're born, you know, we're born in sin after all. To kind of get a taste of it. I was willing to, after I realized really what that meant, it comes down to something very simple. It's a very simple way of looking at the world. It's a very simple way of looking at existence. I realize I am the creation. Whatever this consciousness that I have, whatever this awareness that I have, God created it. God created me. God made me aware of my own existence. And I'm willing to see that he is God, and that I'm simply the creation. And coming with that, you know, there's certain fundamental, you know, because of the way that's structured, there's certain fundamental things that I just can't do without destroying myself, without destroying that relationship. And I think, you know, that whatever that motivation is that I have to not only to find my creator, but to forge kind of ever deeper bonds with him, whatever that motivation is, these other people that don't have that motivation are actually looking for the opposite. They're repelled. The last thing they want to know is that there's a creator. The last thing they want to do is bond with that creator. You know, it's kind of like the, have you seen, I don't know if you've watched any of the videos where they, you know, you can buy these so-called hydrophobic sprays, you know, and you can spray a surface. Let's say you spray your, you know, your boot or whatever with this, you know, sort of a, you know, and you can buy this stuff. It's a sort of a hydrophobic spray, and the water is like, it repels it. It's really, to watch the videos, it's really quite remarkable the way water, it's like the water just wants to get away from whatever that hydrophobic property is. The water just wants away from it. You know, it's just repelled by whatever it is. And that's the way these people, it's a good analogy for the way these people that are not not looking for their creator. They want to know themselves as the creator. Somehow they exist. Somehow the dust became aware of itself, and they just want to take advantage of that. Give in to the temptation, have all this, you know, sex they want, pleasure themselves, eat themselves to death, whatever. Play God in other people's lives. You know, crush people like bugs. You know, kill themselves. You know, kind of murder, suicide. And that's really where it ends. If you're on the wrong path and you lack the motivation to find God, the real motivation I'm talking about, not the phony plastic good time rock and roll motivation that people seem to have, it's you know, it's phony as a $3 bill. But the real thing, if you have the wrong motivation, or the lack of the real motivation, you're on a path towards destruction and death. The Bible says, basically paraphrasing, you know, that if God didn't intervene, there would be no human beings left. And God does intervene. And it's not just it's really not just a one-time thing. Periodically, you know, God intervenes. So, you know, he's not going to allow, you know, just a total murder suicide to happen to the human, you know, the whole human race. So anyway, that meditation, like I said, it's on my website. Give it a try. It's not going to hurt you. If you find that it helps you, and I do believe it will help most people if you'll give it a serious try, I do believe it'll help most people. It's up to you to continue with it. It's the one, you know, one time isn't going to cut it. If you find that it helps you after the very first try, and I think, you know, most people will find if they give it a serious try that it will help them, it's up to you. You have to continue with it. You know, it's not something to be trifled with. The affections of your Creator are not something to be trifled with. But at the end of the day, you have to be motivated. So, anyhow, I think I'm going to bring this to a close. As I say, I've got kind of all day tomorrow. I have to kind of sit here in the truck stop and wait until, you know, and then unload early Monday morning, and then, as I said before, probably end up with some other load, or even loads that, you know, that I'll load and then take somewhere and then hopefully be able to deadhead home from there. Although it is possible that they might deadhead me from here, but home, you know, deadhead me home from here, but I think they'll probably find a load that's going to get me closer. So, anyhow, hope everyone is having a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.